Turn with us to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Somebody's in the Old Testament. Tell them, please come to Bible study. Luke 24, verses 10, 11, and 12. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women, somebody say other women, that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and run unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself of that which was come to pass. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women. Say that again, other women that were with them. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. As we continue our discussion this month about racism in America, but from a biblical and historical perspective, on this third watch, I want to talk about the squad. What I want to talk about this Sunday morning. I want to talk about really about the real squad. Amen. Let's talk a few minutes about the squad. My brothers, my sisters, I wrote this sermon 4 weeks ago while on vacation. It's amazing, as I've told you before, how much work and spiritual work you can get done when you're on vacation, especially when you're out of the country. And not only do you have your phone off, but even if you had your phone on, people can't text you. Five paragraphs, all in capital letters. Also, something spiritual, as Elder Lakin will tell you, about being by an ocean. As the waves come in and out, the wisdom and the word of God comes into your life. And I'm not saying this, y'all, to tell you I'm about to go on vacation again. I'm not telling y'all that. That's an excuse for when I do go back on vacation again. But it's true, Aunt Erica. There is something very spiritual about being near water and being at a beach and hearing from God. And it was during that week that we happened to be out of the country in the Caribbean on vacation that the orange man in D.C. told these four sisters of color, go back where you came from. These four women, four freshmen congressmen who were all elected last year in the midterm election of 2018. Ilhan Omar from Minnesota, whose family is from Somalia. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, better known as AOC, from the Bronx, Boogie Down, New York. Rashida Tlaib, who is from Michigan, but she's of Palestinian descent. And then Ayanna Pressley, an African-American sister from Massachusetts. And she is the first African-American sister elected to Congress from Massachusetts. Interesting enough, she is a Democrat, first African-American sister elected from Massachusetts, but the first African-American senator elected to the United States Senate since Reconstruction was a brother by the name of Edward Brooks. And he was elected in 1966 when African-Americans, including my great-grandfather, were Republicans. They were what you call Lincoln Republicans. Republicans who believed in equality and fairness and justice. Strom Thurmond changed the Republican Party. I ain't here to talk about him, but just for context, my great-grandfather, up until 1968, was the chairman of the Republican Party in the state of South Carolina. And just a little bit of history for you, they went out to the 1968 Republican Convention in San Francisco, California. There were two delegations, my great-grandfather's integrated coalition and Strom Thurmond's all-white coalition. And the Republican Party gave the delegate tickets and the delegate credentials to Strom Thurmond's delegation. And that was the last day that my great-grandfather was a Republican. These four sisters of color have band together. And I don't know who came up with the terminology. I don't know who first gave it nomenclature. I don't know who first gave them the adjective. I don't know who first made them an R&B group. But in most journalism, they are referred to now as the squad. The squad, the square, four people of color, or four persons, and these being four persons of ethnicity, two being Muslim, two being, I guess, assume other religions, maybe Protestant, maybe Baptist. I'm not sure what my sister is, but she's welcome here any Sunday. She wants to come preach or talk or whatever. But they have band together because they represent what we consider to be the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. They are trying to push the party not to what Fox News will call socialism, because anytime people talk about fairness and anytime people talk about any economic inequality and economic fairness, the Fox News and the conservatives call them socialists, and almost to the point of being communists, where you have equal distribution of wealth. They just want fairness and wealth. They just want fairness and equality, and no walls be built so that persons who are of a different color, or of a different ethnicity, or of a different religious persuasion are not treated any differently and have all access to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And because they have band together to be a counterweight to the Big Mac, who is a temporary inhabitant of Pennsylvania Avenue, they have been vilified. And just this week, this is how God works in mysterious ways. I've had all these sermons planned out from the first Sunday when we talked about the Hamitic curse to the second Sunday when we talked about who you're looking at. And this third Sunday, I was always going to preach the squad. I can tell you what I'm going to preach next Sunday, but you wouldn't come back if I told you too early. But all that was done, all four were prepared while I was away. And it's just very interesting how God's calendar is always the best calendar. And God's calendar is always the best calendar. And God will always have you a preacher prepared for the moment. And so it's just interesting that even though 4 weeks ago he told them to go back to where they come from, and for those of you who lived through the 60s, you know what that's all about. It's very interesting that during the 60s and during Jim Crow era, our people would call every name under the sun that was derogatory. And then some people would say, y'all need to go back from where you come from, which is interesting because they would say, go back from where you come from. If I had to go back from where I come from, I'd be Baptist Hospital, 2224 Taylor Street, Columbia, South Carolina. And it's interesting they told us to go back to where we come from. Ain't none of us asked to come here no how. Ain't none of us called. Our ancestors didn't call no traveling. Our ancestors didn't get on Expedia.com. Our ancestors didn't sign up to come over here. Ain't right none of them on the beach in Africa talking about where y'all going. And if they did ask where y'all going, they would ask what time y'all coming back. We ain't had no choice to come over here, and then you come and go back from where you come from. I'm going back down the street to my house. So when he said that, we who are people of the struggle understood what he was saying. They can spin it all they want to, but he is the most racist thing we have seen. Since they were stringing us up as strange fruit from oak trees. And he told these four women, go back from where you came from. 2,000 years ago, a group of women went back to where they came from. 2,000 years ago, and depending on what gospel you read, it was three or it was a gang. No matter if it was three or a gang, there's always more women at church service than men in now. We're going to change that dynamic. I don't know why it is always more women than men in church service. I ain't figured that part out based upon the Bible. You want to be head at your house. You want to sit down and get your meal brought to you, your clothes folded, and treated like a man, but you don't want to be a man in his house. And when they were looking for Jesus, then Jesus told them at 12 years old, wouldn't you know I would be in my father's house about my father's business, but you don't want to be a father up in this house. You want to be a father at home beating your children and telling your wife what to do, but why you can't, why you can't be a father in your father's house? Why don't you come up here and praise the Lord? Why don't you come up here and shout? Why don't you come in here and be about your father? To the text. And so, 2,000 years ago, a group of women went back to where they came from. For it was only women at the funeral of Jesus. There were only women who were both flower bearers, pall bearers, and the preacher at the funeral. None of his boys showed up to the funeral. Ain't nobody gave remarks. Ain't nobody gave reflections. Ain't nobody read the poem, I am free. Nobody! But women were at the funeral and burial of Jesus. And the only reason why the men could know where he was buried is because a woman had to tell them. And so they went back, Erica, where they started. They started at a tomb Friday evening, and they went back to a tomb Sunday morning. Now, my brothers and my sisters, I really believe that it was a gang, and I've been trying to figure this thing out. I preached about before, you know, they saw them put that stone, that boulder in front of the tomb of Jesus. And I have wondered until last week, or well, 4 weeks ago, I was at the beach. You know, how they ever thought they were going to move that tomb if it took all them soldiers. All right? But I realize women are stronger than men anyhow, yeah. Mentally. That's why y'all don't get caught. Y'all do a whole lot of the same things men do. Lane. therefore most women ain't scared. They were doing really a man's job. Because what you don't understand, because you're Christian, and when you're Christian, you know, and you send your body to a funeral home, but when we have Islams come, the men wash the men. The women wash the women. And they don't mix. They can't be in the same room at the same time. It's the men that come into our facilities and wash and shroud the body, and they separate their gender. So women couldn't be in or around a male to shroud him, to wash him, and to anoint him, but they went anyhow. Every now and then you can't let culture and norms and what society tells you you're supposed to be. You can't let them tell you to stay in the kitchen and in the bedroom. You got to help me, somebody. You got to be where God needs you to be. Work where God. I thought I have a few more sisters up here who understand how sometimes I got to get out of my lane to make sure that the work and the will of God is manifested in my life. And you can't be scared about what somebody else and what others might think about you. If our men don't want their woman to make more money than them, I wish that they would make more money than me. Think I got some red bottles? No, all of them be red. And every now and then, a woman's just got to do what a woman's got to do. Oh, y'all like that? Nah, I like that. Yeah. They couldn't be scared, but this crew was strong. Tell your neighbor, this crew and that crew, their crew was strong. They had to move. They came because they were strong in mind, and if they had to be physically strong, they were going to be physically strong. Yes, their mind was strong. Yes, their hearts were strong, but they also understood that they had to be strong just because of what society had said about their femininity. Again, in life, my sisters and my brothers, when you work for God, you got to be strong. When you sit down front, when you lead people, when you direct people, you got to be strong, because everybody claim to be saved. I look at the ushers, I tell y'all ain't saved. Scoot over, not today. Stand up, you can stand up. Y'all get funny. You know, that like that. We ain't got no names on seats around here. You ain't purchased that seat. That ain't your own. We don't want all five of Boutte's purchased so you can sit down. It was a gang of them that went. And you and me and I, we cannot do the work of the Lord by ourselves. That's why it takes all of us to bring our tithes to the storehouse. That's why it takes all of us to volunteer. And we're going to need more volunteers. You can't. That's why people get tired and burnt out, because they're doing all the work. 20% of the church, does 100% of the work. 20% of the membership does 100% of the work, which means the other 80% of y'all ain't doing nothing but coming here on Sunday morning and clapping. You've got to have strength. And one thing we know about the squad in D.C. and the squad that was in Palestine is that they were strong. Not only you can't be scared, and they couldn't be scared. Also, again, the crew was strong. But then what I like about this text is that their claims were substantiated. Their claims, Cheryl, were substantiated. Read the text. When they went and told the guys didn't believe them. When they went and told the guys, the men who had been with him for 3 years, they said it was a fairy tale. Even though they had seen all of his miracles, even though they had seen him turn water into wine, even though they had seen him take 2 fishes and 5 hush puppies and turn it into a seafood buffet in the hills of Hermon, even though they had seen him heal a centurion soldier servant, even though the surgeon servant wasn't even in his atmosphere, even though he had said, you give me 3 days, I'll tear down this temple, I'm going to build it
back up. Even though he told them that he was going to prepare a place for them, where he'd go, he was coming back to receive them unto himself. When they told him that the stone had been rolled away and that he was alive, they said it was a fairy tale. And my brothers and my sisters, again, in this cultural times, a woman didn't have no rights. A woman couldn't serve on a jury. And like the dirty South, a woman couldn't testify against a man. If you go to Palestine now, you will see that some of those things have not changed. You see in Palestine now, some of our Muslim countries, they still treat women as second-class citizens, that only their husbands can see their whole face, that they have to cover all of their body. They're not allowed to, again, if you go to a mosque, they have two doors. They come in separate doors. The men pray up front and the women pray behind them. They have to play a submissive, subservient soul. But these women in this text say, because of Jesus, I ain't sitting behind, I ain't staying behind, and I ain't getting behind nobody. Because the same blood that saved a man, the same blood that gave a man the right to preach, the same blood that freed my soul, the same blood of Jesus that's going to save me. And so when they told the men did not believe. But thank God for a good man by the name of Peter. And we need some more Peters in the world. I know Peter sometimes get a bad rap for cussing and fussing and cutting. But we need some men like that who say, this woman has the word. This woman has a right to preach. This woman has a right to lead. And this woman knows the directions better than I know. And I'm sure you'll be riding with your husband, you're riding your man, you're turning to go the wrong way, and they still go the wrong way. And they don't want to admit that they're wrong. But every now and then you just got to say, baby, you're right. Maybe I should have listened to you earlier. As a matter of fact, if you screenshot this, you're right. And you ain't got to remind me that you're right. And when they got to the tour that Sunday morning, I wanted just to talk a little bit to you, but I feel a little help coming right now. When they got to the tomb Sunday morning, Peter went in. Only one of the brothers believed the women, but the one that believed the sisters got the key to the kingdom. I wish I could help somebody today. The one who believed in the women got the key to the kingdom. I'll say that one more time so y'all get it over here. The one that believed the women, he got the key to the kingdom. The choir will help me. The one who got the key heard the woman say, he got the key to the kingdom. Because Jesus realized even before he even got there, because he prophesied to Jesus early on, when Jesus understood that you know who I am. You know I am the Christ. You know I am the Son of God. And he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom because he could trust Peter. And that's why Peter trusted not really in what the women said. He trusted in Jesus. But you got to trust in who God has sent you and gave you a good word in your life. And the reason why we honor Peter, because he was smart enough to believe Jesus. To believe the women who told him he is alive. Anybody know he's alive? Anybody know he lives? Anybody can give him praise because he lives. And I want you to stand up for every woman, every mother who has been abused, every woman who said they could not do it because they were weak, every victim of molestation, of mental and physical abuse, every woman that was passed over for a child because of their gender. These women in the Bible, and these four women right now who are fighting for the true meaning of America, deserve our honor.